Welcome to Disease Dirt, a podcast that digs deep into the wonderful world of plant pathology. In the last episode, we learned about the evolutionary arms race between plant and pathogen. Today, we'll discuss the idea of a disease cycle, focusing in on one of the most economically important diseases in the world today, stem rust of wheat. The circle of life is a beautiful thing, isn't it? You begin your journey into the human experience through the fusion of two single cells, a sperm and an egg. First, you're one cell, and over the course of some years, you transform into a several trillion-celled adult. At this point, you may or may not decide that you want to restart this cycle of life by having kids of your own. And if you do, this child will go on through the same cycle of life, and as will future generations. Every living organism, humans, animals, plants, and yes, plant pathogens, have a life cycle associated with them. We also associate plant pathogens with certain disease cycles, or the cycle undergone by a pathogen to cause disease in a host. In previous episodes, you learned that there are many different types of organisms that could be plant pathogens, including fungi, bacteria, viruses, and nematodes. That being said, there are many variations of disease cycles that plant pathogens could progress through, differing between phyla, genera, and species. However, the very basic pathogenic disease cycle is as follows. First, the pathogen inoculates the host. Some form of primary inoculum, whether it be fungal spores or the first bacterial cell, comes in contact with the host. Primary inoculum could occur on plant roots or plant leaves. Second, the pathogen disseminates within the host. This could manifest as rapid replication of viroids or division of spores. It's important to note that just because there's a pathogen present doesn't mean that it's currently causing disease. There's something that we call a latent period in plant pathology. This is the period between when the inoculum first comes in contact with the host and when it actually begins to cause disease. This period could last several days or several weeks, and usually depends on the right environmental conditions. Remember those three points of the disease triangle? The pathogen, the host, and the environment. When the number of infectious inoculum is high enough, it can begin infecting the host, causing symptoms of disease such as yellowing of leaves or wilting. Finally, when the pathogen is successfully causing disease, it could continue creating even more inoculum to spread to the neighboring plants. This allows for the spread of disease from plant to plant, and in an agricultural context, inoculum can even spread from one field to the next. When we think about plant pathogen disease cycles, particularly oomycetes or fungal pathogens, we tend to group them into either monocyclic or polycyclic. A monocyclic disease only goes through one cycle, inoculation of the host, dissemination, and infection. Soil-borne diseases such as Aphanomyces root rot or Pythium seed rot are often monocyclic. However, if the disease is polycyclic, it goes through many cycles by inoculating, disseminating, infecting, and then creating a tough spore type so it can overwinter and serve as primary inoculum for the next season. This allows the disease to go through many poly cycles. There are many examples of polycyclic diseases, such as powdery and downy mildews. Now, this is just a generalization of plant pathogenic disease cycles. I could make a whole podcast series solely detailing the plethora of different disease cycles of plant pathogens. But for this episode, I'll focus on the particularly unique and troublesome fungal disease cycle of stem rust of wheat, barley, and oat. The culprit of this disease is Puccinia graminis, a fungus within the genus Basidiomycota. Wheat stem rust has been a notable plant pathogen since around 350 BC in ancient Rome and Greece. The civilians of ancient Rome made sacrifices to the rust god they called Robigo in hopes that their wheat would not fall victim to this devastating pathogen. There's even speculation that severe crop losses due to this pathogen may have been partially responsible for the fall of the Roman Empire. More recently, at the turn of the century in 1999, a new race of aggressive wheat rust was found in fields in Uganda. So far, it's spread to epidemic levels throughout Kenya, Ethiopia, South Africa, and Yemen. Wheat stem rust is one of the most economically important diseases of today, and one of the biggest threats to food security in the world. So what is it about this pathogen that makes it such a complicated, transient problem? The answer is that it's an extremely virulent pathogen with five different spore types that can live on two different hosts during its lifetime. Allow me to take you on a quick tour around the stem-rust disease cycle. This disease cycle begins on a barberry bush. Yes, a barberry bush. I know it's called stem rust of wheat, so why are we talking about barberry? In this case, we call barberry the alternate host. Barberry provides a home for the primary inoculum of the stem rust of wheat. When the environment's right, eosinophils are dispersed from the barberry and onto a wheat plant. Then, there's a succession of spore types that develop. The eosinophils develop into a structure called a uridium, which releases uridiniospores. This spore type will aggressively infect and reinfect the wheat, causing the rust-like symptoms that we see on the plant. Eventually, the uridiniospores will mature into the next spore type that we call teliospores. Teliospores are tough and can survive throughout the winter, which is an evolutionary win for the pathogen, allowing it to be polycyclic. After winter, when the environment's right, the teliospores turn to basidiospores, disperse back onto the barberry, and develop into pycnospores. These pycnospores eventually turn back into eosinophils, completing the disease cycle. So that was a lot of spore talk and jumping back and forth between wheat and barberry. The main takeaway here is that disease cycles can be quite complicated, and that makes it difficult to manage diseases. They say it takes a village, and this was true for managing this disease in the early 1900s in America when the barberry eradication program was implemented, pushing the Barberry or Bread campaign. The USDA and state departments of agriculture asked for the help of civilians to locate the barberry near them and report it. In theory, this would help discover where the host is living and then allow the government to eradicate it. This program harped heavily on the evils of this disease. Some anti-barberry propaganda went as far to say as barberry is the kin of the Kaiser. Clearly, the government and society recognized the dangers of stem rust and wheat in agricultural systems. Although there was noble effort, simply removing barberry from the environment didn't eradicate this disease. Why is that, you may be wondering? Well, let's think back to the spore types we discussed. If the uridiniospores are present on the wheat, they can be asexually reproducing and reinfect the wheat without the presence of the secondary barberry host. So even if there's no barberry, pre-existing uridiniospores can continue to cause disease on the crop. Wheat is one of the most important crops worldwide for feeding our population. You can see how a disease such as stem rust of wheat that can cause 50 to 70% yield loss could lead to food insecurities. Plant pathologists from all over the world are tirelessly researching the biology, epidemiology, and potential management strategies of this pathogen. To me, it's kind of amazing that people come together from all around the globe to prevent others from going hungry. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Disease Dirt. Do you have any questions or comments about this episode or any suggestions for other episodes? Feel free to reach out to me on Twitter @SavannahLips.